Our office this morning, our chapter from Luke 11 through 9, 10, and 13. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Where possible, please kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come today because we want to be where you are. And we pray especially that you give us the mind of Jesus, that you open our minds that we may hear, understand, and allow him to make part of our lives, what we hear in our sermon today, that we may take it out into the community and be the witness that you would have us be. We ask that you will shine through us to those who need to hear you, who need to see you. And thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't you let nobody turn you round, turn you round, turn you round. Now don't you let nobody turn you round, keep on to Galilee. Now don't you let nobody turn you round, turn you round, turn you round. Now don't you let nobody turn you round, keep on to Galilee. I would not be a liar, oh, and I'll tell you. Turn you round, oh, turn you round, turn you round. Now don't you let nobody turn you round, keep on to Galilee. Now don't you let nobody turn you round, turn you round, turn you round. Now don't you let nobody turn you round, keep on to Galilee. I would not be a backslider, oh, and I'll tell you the reason. And why? For I am so afraid, my Lord might call me, and I wouldn't be ready to die.
Now don't you let nobody
turn you round, turn you round, turn you round.
Now don't you let nobody
turn you round, keep on to Galilee.
Now don't you let nobody
turn you round, turn you round, turn you round. Turn you round, keep on to Galilee, keep on to Galilee, keep on to Galilee.
You can't leave just yet. You have another song. You're going to do that after the sermon. But I just want to make sure everybody knows you all, All right, so let's start on the right, my right, your left, and do an introduction here because this is important, isn't it?
I think I'm supposed to start, but...
You are.
You know, more important than who I am and who these guys are, we're here to praise God.
I realize that,
and
I agree totally.
I'm Brian Schwartz, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity to praise him with you this morning.
And you sing bass.
And I sing bass.
I'm Steve Lang, I sing baritone, and I teach at the most fantastic academy in Newbury Park.
Amen.
Send your children.
I'm Braden Schwartz, that is my father, that is my history teacher, and I sing lead.
I'm Logan Dickinson. I sing first tenor, and as of right now, I don't do anything like these guys. I sing first tenor because of my grandpa, because he sang first tenor, and he's amazing. So yeah.
Now, just one more quick question. How did you all get together? And who's the lightning rod that keeps this group together?
Very briefly, because they told me not to say anything when I came up. Brian and his lovely family invited myself and a lot of other people to go to Lake Powell on a houseboat. So while we were there, Logan, who just has, and Brian both, had fallen in love with quartet, and so they said, hey, would you sing some songs with us while we're on the boat? And one thing led to another, and we decided, hey, it'd be fun to do a quartet. So we're still in the early stages of existence, but it's a lot of fun, but most importantly, it's a wonderful outlet, like Brian was saying, to share God's love through music.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Isn't that helpful? Thank you so much. We're proud of our young people, too, aren't we? I feel some... or almost hear some buttons popping out there, so more than one set of buttons. So you're going to hear from them, and when they return, they're going to be joined by Mindy, who's going to be on the flute, and Fernando Rossi will be on the piano for their next number. So thank you for blessing us with music this morning. I want to tell you something that I have experienced this last week. You know, it's not very often that pastors get to go and be fed. But let me tell you how this pastor was fed this last week. It started on Sunday with the Pacific Union Conference constituency meeting in Ontario at the Convention Center. And I want to bring you a brief report. It was a Holy Spirit anointed gathering. And all of the officers were reelected for another 5-year term. There was one change, and the one and only change was the Asian Pacific coordinator retired, and so a new Asian Pacific coordinator was elected and voted in his place. But as you well know, we have the secretary and the treasurer are members of our church. And I was so proud because manning the booth and helping keep that session humming were all of our Camarillo Church family members who are employees at Pacific Union Conference. So, I was at home from the very beginning to the very end. That ended at noon on Monday. It was followed Monday evening by the Pacific Union Conference Ministerial Consortium, which is a gathering of pastors from primarily the Pacific Union. So yeah, pastors from Hawaii, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, California, and we're all coming together to be fed. Let me tell you why this was significant for me. 5 years ago, I was at the same or a similar meeting. And the Spirit of God was moving. But there was something different this time. It was as though all of those men and women who were there had been listening to your prayers. Because the Holy Spirit was there with power. It was so obvious and so powerful. It was so moving for those of us that are in ministry. And I'm hearing my pastoral colleagues going, wow, I can't wait to go home and share what I've been involved in here for a day and a half. I'm so excited. Jesus is coming. And when your pastors get on fire, what happens when they go back home? Now, I would have said, if somebody said, well, what's happening in your church? I would have said, my lay people are the ministries of this church, and they are on fire. Thank you. Remember, I'm hard of hearing. And you are. And I praise God for it. I am so excited because Jesus is coming. And the Holy Spirit, you know, as I was listening to the Sabbath School this morning, and I was reminded of something that you heard, if you were here in Sabbath School this morning, that the Holy Spirit is living where? Up there? Out there? Where is He living? In your heart. Only if He's invited. Have you invited Him in? Now, you may be the first-time visitor to our church today, but I'm here to tell you this is about sermon number 4 on the Holy Spirit. And I make no apologies because we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without Him, we don't know Jesus. Without Him, we can't be ready to meet Jesus. Yesterday, I was sitting outside a doctor's office in Redlands, California. Rochelle had taken Mom in for her appointment. And I'm just minding my own business. I was actually going through my sermon notes, and I laid my Bible down, and I was just kind of watching people come and go. And this gentleman comes walking across the parking lot towards the entrance. Now, I didn't know Jim from Adam at that point. But I had gotten up, and I was kind of walking in his direction, and as our eyes met, I greeted him, and we started a conversation. And one thing led to another. And in that conversation, Jim was telling me about his life. He was a retired truck driver, retired when he was in his early 70s. And he missed that part, but he was okay. I had to quit because I had some major facial cancer issues, and they had to reconstruct my face. And I'll be very honest with you, the Lord had answered his prayers because you had to look hard to see that there had ever been any surgery. And as we're talking, he's given me some clues. He says, you know, when I was a young man, I lived in Newberry Park. In fact, I went to an academy there by the name of Newberry Park Adventist Academy. And I said, oh, really? I know where that is. I live in Camarillo. Oh, you're just down the hill. Yes. Now, I'm in my shorts and my shirt. No pastor hat. And as we converse, I finally said, well, you know, I've had an interesting walk in my life. Started out as this probation officer and went through the litany and education and all of that. And now I'm a pastor. What church? Seventh-day Adventist. Oh. Well, you know, I haven't been to church in a long time. I said, well, Jim, thinking about what we're going to be doing this next weekend. Remember? Did you see that in your bulletin? Training on how to give a Bible study? Jim, there's one of two ways to look at our meeting this morning. One is by chance. Secondly is, I believe the Holy Spirit put me here to talk to you today. Amen? And he didn't say no. He said, oh, I hadn't thought of that yet that way. I said, Jim, Jesus loves you. We'd love to have you back. Jim, this is Friday. Go get plugged in tomorrow. I'm praying that he did this morning. I share that with you because Jesus is a miracle worker. In our story today, we're going to learn more about the man named Peter, the disciple named Peter, and how God took the prejudices that were in Peter's heart and life and just turned them upside down, took those prejudices and turned them into, I can go and witness to anyone because I'm a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on all of us this morning. Open our hearts and lives to hear you speaking to us. Remove Dennis from the picture this morning, and you, Jesus, show up in every heart and in every mind here this morning. May we be touched by you, Jesus, today through the story of Peter and Cornelius. Thank you for hearing our prayer and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts chapter 10. Now, last week, I left you hanging. Remember Cornelius, I introduced you to Cornelius, had a vision of sorts. And actually, he had more than that. He had a visit from an angel. And the angel pointed out some really important things to Cornelius. The angel recognized Cornelius as one who cared about other people. He pointed out to Cornelius that his gifts of charity were valued and noticed by God himself. Your giving is noticed by God. Isn't that important? And I want to affirm you for that. You can't outgive God or Jesus. But it was noticed. And what an affirmation for Cornelius. But Cornelius was searching, and he had been praying. He had been spending quality time in prayer. In fact, it was during his prayer time that the angel appears. I'm praying for the angel to appear to each of you in your prayer times. Now, Peter, in a different city, at about the same time, had taken a break from the tanning business and had gone up to the top of the house of Simon the tanner because lunch was being prepared, and Peter was really hungry, and he went up on top. Now, I've learned something about tanning in that part of the world is that they did that on the top of the house, so it wasn't the most pleasant smell, perhaps. Have you ever been around where they're tanning hides and cleaning the fat off of them? You know, there's kind of yucky stuff going on when you're doing that. But nonetheless, it was fresh air. The ocean breeze was blowing in, and Peter just kind of went to sleep, took a nap, when suddenly he had a vision. If you take your Bibles, you can find this story beginning with verse 9. And so Peter is there, and suddenly he's looking up into heaven. My friends, where do you look every day? I'm looking at the news. Have you read any good news lately? Pretty hard to find, isn't it? A lot of yucky stuff going on out there. Are you looking at the stock market? Don't go there. It can depress you. Where are you looking? Look to heaven. Look to Jesus. And Peter was doing that. And then while he was doing that, he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet. Verse 11, bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And then there came a voice. It says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now, it's interesting with Peter. Peter's the man of threes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus had told him in the upper room, tonight you're going to deny me how many times? Three times. Or at least before the night is over. At the end of the book of John, Jesus is talking to Peter. This time he's saying, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And how many times does Jesus ask Peter or direct Peter to feed his sheep? Three times. And now we have the sheep let out of the sky from heaven. And as Peter is looking at that sheep full of animals and the Lord is telling them to eat, Peter is just gagging. Ugh. Despicable. Ugly. Lord, I couldn't touch that stuff. So what was the message of the sheep with all of these yucky animals in it? That the dietary diets of the old had been done away with? Was that the answer? No. We'll find out a little later in the chapter. So Peter, while he's seeing this, something is happening outside the house of Simon the Tanner. Guess who showed up? The three individuals from Cornelius's home. God is so wonderful. You know, there's no GPS. How did they know to find the Tanner's house? Well, you could ask directions when you get into town. It was probably pretty obvious where Simon lived and his business. But it's interesting how no telephones, no cell phones, no computer communication, but you have an even better way to communicate. You have angels. Nothing can interfere with an angel's message, can it? You have the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. What, if anything, could stop that from happening? Only you. You could ignore it or turn it off. Cornelius was searching. Cornelius wanted to know Jesus as his personal Savior. And so, while Peter had just finished seeing the sheep taken up into heaven and he's just shaking his head, what is that all about? When there's a knock at the door. And they're asking for a man by name. Where is Peter? How did they know his name? God is amazing. So Peter comes down and meets the three men. Verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, what does it say here next? The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Have you heard the Spirit's voice this morning speaking to you? Calling you, inviting you into a loving relationship with Jesus. And the Spirit went on, arise therefore, go down and go with them. Go with them. Doubt nothing, important, doubt nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And then they gave him the reason. Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by the Holy Spirit, by a holy angel, to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. All right. Go back to my conversation yesterday morning with this gentleman in Redlands. Could it have been? I believe it was, a Holy Spirit appointment. Isn't that neat? It is so difficult to witness. Not when you love Jesus and you let him witness through you. It's so exciting. I love it. You are doing that, and I applaud you for it. Well, Peter was a good host, so he invited them in. More than that, he asked them to stay overnight, and the next morning they headed off to the home of Cornelius. Wow. What an exciting time. Peter was beginning to get it, wasn't he? Therefore, the title of my sermon today, I Get It. I get what? I get it that the Holy Spirit wants to do marvelous things in and through me to help me to be an effective witness for Jesus everywhere I go. You see, the problem Peter had was there was this prejudice about Jews associating with the Gentiles. And so this was becoming an issue for Peter. It had been an issue for Peter, and the Lord was trying desperately to help Peter overcome that prejudice. So let's read about what happens here next. Verse 24 and following. In the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was what? Waiting for them. And he had called together his relatives and close friends. You see, when somebody wants to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can't keep it to themselves either, can they? And so they invite their family, they invite their friends, saying, hey, this man Peter, I don't know exactly what Peter's going to tell us today, but I know he's got a message from the Lord for us, and so let's fill up the house. And so you have a home church beginning to be established there in Caesarea. So as Peter was coming in, verse 25, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And then they began a conversation talking about what it was to be brought together. And then in verse 28, this is a really important verse. Notice what it says. And then he said to them, Peter, speaking now, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. There was the prejudice. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. I get it. That was the message of the sheep with all these creepy, ugly, nasty creatures in it. It wasn't about a diet. It wasn't about what I could or couldn't eat. It was about going to other people of other nations and giving them the salvation message. I get it. I get it. Have you gotten it yet? Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent, for I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? In verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. And your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded by God, commanded you by God. So Peter is there sharing the good news. And as we read on, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows partiality." Are you following along? I'm just checking. God shows no partiality. Isn't that good news? "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism from which John preached." And Peter begins to tell him the wonderful story of Jesus. Notice this verse, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit. And with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All right, my friends. Cornelius was praying for what? For someone to teach him about who Jesus was and is. Are we seeking that infilling in our lives every day, all day, so that we go fully equipped always to go out into the harvest field and share Jesus as Peter is doing in this occasion? Jesus didn't do it on his own. He was connected to his Father. If you go back and you look and read about the life of Jesus, he referred backwards to the Father constantly. He always said, "The Father is the one that I'm here to serve." We must do the same. It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised us. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do the works that Jesus promised we would do and share the gospel everywhere we go. But Peter went on, verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly." 41, "Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to do what? Preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." You know, that's an important sentence. When Jesus comes, who is he coming to judge? Or who has he judged? When you go before the bar of judgment in heaven, who stands with you? Christ does, absolutely. Who is your defense attorney? Jesus is. And who is your judge? Jesus is. John 5. Verse 20, "The Father judges no one. Jesus is your judge." Oh, my friends, you have the best of the best at your defense. To him, verse 43, "all the prophets witness that through his name Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's an exceedingly important part of that sentence in that verse. Is there anyone here that's never sinned? No, we are all sinners saved by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus came to do for you and for me. And he came to do that for Cornelius and his family. And Jesus wants us to be active in his life with him. And these next few verses here are the most powerful in this chapter. Follow along closely. While Peter was still speaking these words, notice what happens. The Holy Spirit fell where? Upon them. Upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, the Jewish friends that were there, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? The disciples went out. When the gift of tongues fell upon them, they went out into public and began to proclaim the message. And everyone heard the message in not some unusual or strange language, but everyone heard the message clearly in their native tongue. So whatever nation they came from, they were hearing the word in the preaching of Peter, repent and be baptized in their language. And this is what happened here. And then Peter answered, verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Oh, my friend, how exciting it is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't come unless it's invited, you must invite him into your life. You must ask him to take possession of your heart and to live in you so you can be an effective witness for him. In closing, I want to share some thoughts with you. Cornelius and Peter were two very different people. Cornelius was wealthy, a Gentile, a military man. Peter was a Jewish fisherman turned preacher, but God's plan included both of them. In Cornelius' house that day, a new chapter in Christian history was written. As a Jewish Christian preacher leader and a Gentile Christian convert, each discovered something significant about God at work in the other person. Isn't that exciting? You see, Cornelius needed Peter and his gospel message to know that he, Cornelius, could be saved. You see, the angel could have done all of that. The angel could have taken care of everything. But what I love about Jesus, when he is working with us, he loves to put humans in contact with humans. He loves to give you the opportunity to be that witness. That's why learning to give Bible studies is so critical and so important. Learning to be an effective witness. It takes practice, it takes time. I can verify that. I really can. But the absolutely incredible thing is that throughout this whole story, you had God the Father, you had Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, you have angels, and you have Peter and Cornelius and all of those that were supporting them, all coming together under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Can't get any sweeter than that, can it? Can't get any more powerful than that. So Peter needed Cornelius and his salvation experience to know that Gentiles were included in God's plan. My question as we wrap up this morning is this. Are you as eager to learn more about Jesus as Cornelius was? Our scripture today was found in Luke 11, verses 9, 10, and 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Cornelius was following those instructions. Verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Are you asking Jesus for the Holy Spirit in your heart and life today? I pray that you are. Are you as willing to go and share the gospel as Peter was? I leave with you these thoughts. You see, not only did Peter get it, but I get it. I'm beginning to get it. Get what, Pastor Dennis? To get it that I need to go out there and share the gospel. I need to go out there and be ready to share to whoever Jesus places in my pathway. To be a witness for him. He's calling you to get it too. The one thing we desire this morning, Jesus, is just that, to see you, to hear you, to open our hearts and lives to you, to allow you to transform us into your likeness, taking all of the dross, all of the sins in our lives, and replacing that with you, Jesus. Draw us near to you today. As we leave here today, I plead with each and every person to not just today, but from this day forward, to be asking the Holy Spirit to fill their hearts and lives, to receive that special baptism that will keep us connected to you, Jesus, listening to you, Jesus, obeying you, Jesus, and giving our hearts fully and completely to you, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for your marvelous gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.